The Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. What you are watching is footage from May 28, 2008. Adam LeWinter and Jeff Orlowski were doing their work on the 17th day of time-lapse filming a glacier in western Greenland. While checking in with the project director, LeWinter admits nothing is happening. Other than some wind, the glacier was just stagnant. When all of a sudden it wasn't stagnant anymore, and the largest calving event of a glacier happened in known history, and the whole thing lasted over 75 minutes. The height of that ice is 3,000 feet. And the size of the piece that broke off, the entire lower tip of Manhattan. Things went quickly from nothing is happening to this massive shift and change. Earthquakes and volcanoes, crash diets, accidents, stocks plummeting, snap decisions like getting a haircut that you regret, the interruption of death. These are changes that are similar from nothing is happening to instant change and movement. But then there's slow change, things like erosion and weathering, compound interest, a lifestyle shift, healing processes, the strengthening of a relationship through communication skills, the growing of children, the befriending of grief. Change is inevitable, but sometimes it shows itself over a long arc of time. And then again, like this glacier, sometimes it comes out of nowhere. The word transfiguration, which is what we celebrate today, is translated from its Greek origin, metamorphosis. And in the slides that are ahead, in the video that is ahead, you will see change processes that take place in many different forms. So again, you have permission to tune out of what I'm saying if you can't follow both. But I think in change, in growth that happens over time, we find metamorphosis. We find our faith taking shape in new ways, changing. And the Holy Spirit changing within us our sense of call, our vocation to be something new. But we don't always see the growth from day to day. An old Hasidic tale goes like this. Rabbi Uri taught, "Man is like a tree. If you stand in front of a tree and watch it incessantly to see how it grows, you will see absolutely nothing at all. But if you tend to it, if you prune the runners, if you keep the vermin from it, all in good time, it comes into its growth." And the same is true with people. All that is necessary is for them to overcome obstacles, and they will thrive and grow. But it is not right nor fair to examine them every hour to see how much has been added to the growth. So today, the gospel shows us a glimpse of transformation, where on a mountain peak, Jesus' form is instantly transfigured, and soon he is no longer in the sole company of his brothers and friends, Peter, James, and John. He is glistening. He is sitting among the greats, Moses and Elijah, who themselves represent the entire way everybody knew God, the law and the prophets. Peter wants to stay there on that mountain. Peter does not want to change. He does not want to leave what is good. He wants things to stay the same. So he even offers a place for everybody to sleep. He doesn't want what Jesus says about his suffering and his crucifixion to be true. He doesn't want to confront the reality that comes after life on top of that mountain. But of course, this comes from Peter's history of growth. So we look at Peter in the Gospel of Matthew and we find his name 26 times. First appearing on the shores of Galilee with his brother Andrew, casting his net into the sea when Jesus first walks by. I wonder if when Peter dropped his fishing nets to follow Jesus, if he still smelled like fish for a little while, or if his feet were calloused and cracked from the amount of time he spent in the sea and getting into and out of the boat from the shore and the sand. And it's a couple of chapters after that that we see some growth, because we see Peter coming back again, where Jesus goes into his home and heals Peter's mother-in-law, who was really, really sick. From this little story, we learn about Peter a few things. That before he dropped those nets, he had enough resources, was successful enough in his business to establish a home of his own with walls and a roof. That Peter, one of the apostles, was married and had a wife who had a mother that was ill. We see in his following of Jesus, this connection is revisited after he has left to follow Jesus. He was a primary witness to other healings and other miracles. He was present for many of other Jesus' teachings, even that miraculous feeding. And you can see Peter's growth. It's not until chapter 14 that Peter begins to experience for himself the majesty of God through Jesus firsthand. It was stormy, and Peter was on the sea with the other disciples. It's early in the morning, and Jesus walks toward them, and Peter cannot believe his own eyes. And so he says, "Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you on the water, and I will come." And of course, Jesus does invite Peter to grow in his trust, to get out of the boat and experience the glory of walking on the water. And then Peter steps back and forgets the growth that has happened. He becomes frightened. He starts to sink, and he calls out for Jesus to save him. Perhaps because he had experienced that miracle of Christ's presence for himself. When Jesus later asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter relies on his own sense and his own history to say to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And not long after that, the growth that comes through the school of hard knocks, when things don't go well, befalls Peter too, as he questions why Jesus would talk about dying and crucifixion. That is not the change that Peter had signed up for. And the one who just called him Peter the Rock says to the same person, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me." It was 6 days after that, only 6 days, that Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus on that high mountain where something extraordinary occurs. And just as Peter begins to lay out the plan for their accommodations, to stay there, to not change, to stay in the company of God, to not struggle, to not go through the rest of life, but to be in the presence of the divine, the voice of God overwhelms him. And God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And Peter falls to the ground with James and John. He is overwhelmed by fear. He's stuck there on that mountain, but in a different kind of way. So Jesus comes close to Peter again, and in the Gospel of Matthew, he touches him. I'd like to imagine maybe somewhere on his shoulder or the base of his head, and he says to Peter what might be the summary of the Gospel. Get up. Get up, Peter. Do not be afraid. We can't hold it against Peter that after all that change, he just wants to stay up there on that mountain with Jesus. I mean, you get close enough to an actual experience of the divine, you want to drink it in and never leave. When life is good, never leave that mountaintop. When things come easy, never go home from vacation. Never get back in the car to make the drive away from that place. And yet, that is not the place to stay, camping up on that mountain. Jesus knows that more is before him to complete what God had intended, to unite God with beloved Peter and beloved humanity forever. So if that old tale is right, standing there and staring at the tree will not make it grow. But tending to the work down the mountain, visiting and accompanying the people down there in the valley, on the shoreline, at your workplace, in your place of learning, in your home, in your family, in your neighborhoods, the follower of Christ does come into its growth over time. Because the follower of Christ will follow him all the way to Jerusalem and to the cross and to the death where the sins of the world are nailed through hands and feet, and a crown of thorns changes into glory, that beloved Son, with whom God is well pleased, to whom we will not only listen but also die with, so that we might rise with him. Coming into our growth takes a lifetime. We so desire to have faith so steady and so solid all of the time. But it is something that grows and changes in a lifetime. And together we enter into another slow season, a season of prayer and repentance and fasting, where people of a promise, that's you and me, covered in our skin and our bones and our identity as dust, prepare to change. But we stay there just for a little while, recognizing that we also find transformation where we are raised to new life and invited, like Peter, get up. Do not be afraid. Much like Peter, faith is formed with patience and trust that we are who God says we are. Transform sinners, receivers of undeserved love. That takes time to believe. It takes time to let it sink in. Because there's just so much change in our lives. And we are always with Peter, not quite fully there, but in some sort of process of becoming. An Ignatian prayer by Teilhard de Chardin gets to the heart of this, and I will leave you with these words. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet, it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas, your faith, mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Thanks be to God. Amen.